Good morning, everyone. Hi.
Good morning.
We want to hear from our boys here about Sunday school and what they learned. So give them a chance to share their verses.
Ready? Jesus is the Son of God.
All right.
Jesus is the Son of God. What a wonderful truth.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks to Kelly and Tyler for their help. We welcome you to the house of the Lord this morning. It's a little cooler outside, but we're grateful for it being spring and for an opportunity to gather together on this fifth Sunday of Lent. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and then the following Sunday is Easter. So we have lots of things coming up. So any announcements for the congregation? You'll see there are two on the back, your bulletin. The disaster auction's coming up on the May 3rd. That's over at Westminster. Wonderful time when the churches come together. Great quilts to purchase and food and all kinds of auction items. Yes, Karen?
The Thursday from 10 to 12, I'm going to have the Christian children coming from the school to help do policing the outside area, raking up, leaves, all that. And I know Jeff already told me he's bringing a wheelbarrow, and I'm going to bring mine, and rakes, and all that, to keep them busy for 2 hours.
And that's on Thursday?
Thursday.
This Thursday.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, Wanda?
I want to have a short ladies' aid meeting right after church today.
Okay, ladies' aid meeting, if you can, right after church in the Sunday school room. And Jerry?
Kelly asked me to announce it shows in the directory or the newsletter about Sunday school, and it falls on Easter. However, there will be no Sunday school on Easter Sunday. That will not be. Sunrise service, we will have Easter Sunday morning. We're looking to meet here between 6 and 6:15. So anybody wants to come out, and I take it the ladies are doing, we'll have it afterwards. So we'll have the drinks and refreshments after the sunrise service. And birthday treats are on the back. I was supposed to
okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Birthday Sunday. So let's, who has a birthday in April? Anyone here? Okay, great. Wonderful. Happy birthday. Let us sing together.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
So make sure you pick up a treat on your way out, and I'm sure there's probably something there for just about everyone. Any other announcements? All right, let us begin our worship, and we'll do so with this prelude. Share. Call to worship from Psalms 30. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Let us with joy stand and share together in this opening hymn. And it is Joy to the World. And no, it's not Christmas, but there's a lot of meaning in this song, and we were focusing on joy today. So let's share together Joy to the World. It's hymn number 88. Pray for me, please. Father God, we give you thanks and praise as we enter into your house today. We ask, Lord, your Holy Spirit would come and move in our midst and touch our hearts, Lord, and give us the joy of the Lord. And we pray that your name would be lifted up and glorified. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We are blessed to have good offerings and we are grateful for those that have given. We have the offering box there in the back. And so we just want to take time to acknowledge how the Lord has blessed us. And the call here to stewardship comes from 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7. We should remember this, that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we do give back to you joyfully. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you've given to us, for life and health and homes and families, Lord, and jobs. And we just are grateful for the way that, Lord, you have provided for us. And you've asked us to give back a portion of that to you. And so, Lord, we do so cheerfully, and we ask that you would bless it and multiply it. Give us wisdom in using those funds wisely, that your name would continue to be proclaimed here on the ridge and around the world. And so, Lord, move mightily, we pray, and we ask your blessings on the offerings. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Joys and concerns. Let's start with some joys. Brad.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Mm. Praise God. Mm. Yes, Karen. All right, tell him to get up here. I saw him back here, buddy.
Yesterday was a joyful time working with Sister Karen and Pastor Samuel. We put the sign up out front. And, you know, good fellowship for doing that.
Great, praise God. We're grateful for that. Get a chance to take a look at that sign. Yes. Wonderful.
We had a good visit.
Wonderful. Great. I'm sure it was a joy to him to see you. Any other? Yes, Danny.
I have joy how well Kathy's been doing.
Yes.
And but she'll keep Peter's on the family and on the prayer list. And keep my neighbor on the prayer list. He's having complications with his leg, and is having to see other doctors now.
Great. Thank you. We want to move then to concerns, if there are any other concerns that you would like to lift up in prayer.
I want to put Becky Roberts and the loss of her mother, and Travis and Cody, and the Baker family, and our country and our church.
Okay. Thank you.
A coffee buddy, Ron Smith, that is having some health issues, so just keep him in your prayers.
Okay.
For healing.
Yes.
I have a joy. The good Lord spared me. I'm still here. That's a very blessing, especially at the age of 86. But I know I got one other person that's got me beat, and that's my brother Russell. Thank you.
We got word from Matthew that they were up a couple of nights till late just watching the storms. They did have a really tornado touchdown in Tennessee, but they were okay. So we praise God for his hand of protection. And we need to pray for those folks that were affected. That's quite something to wake up and your home is gone.
I have a few unspoken
okay. Thank you, Chair.
I want to remember Bob and Linda, too.
Yes.
Issues and situations.
Let's come to the Lord in prayer. I invite you to kneel or bow your head. Let us ask God for those things that are on our hearts. Lord, someone is praying. Would you hear us? Thank you, God. Thank you for the opportunity that you give to us to come boldly into your throne of grace. Thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ who intercedes for us and the Holy Spirit to share those things that are sometimes even too deep to put into words. We are grateful, Lord. We're grateful for the many things that you've given to us and the blessings that we see around about us. for birthdays and anniversaries, for life itself, for the season of the year. We give you thanks. We especially praise you, Lord, that Bradley's son has been able to recover and be able to come home. We pray you would continue to speed his recovery. We thank you, Lord, for all the good things that are happening in our lives. And we thank you for all the family and friends. We thank you for long life. We thank you for our country, and we thank you for health, for wholeness, for the joy that we experience. And we ask, Lord, your blessings that continue to be upon us. We especially think of those in need, Lord. So many have experienced a loss of homes, loss of life, floods, fires, war, violence, the uncertainty, lack of security, persecution in various forms. Lord, would you move mightily in your church today? All across this world, Lord, we pray that you would help us to see that you're at the door. Your time is short and coming. Pray that you would help those who yet need to know of your love. Help us, Lord, to share the good news in a way that would touch their hearts and lives. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would move mightily in changing their situation, become a part of the family of God. Help those that are grieving loss of loved ones. Help those in the hospital. We thank you for their doctors and nurses and those that care for them. Give them wisdom and discernment. We pray for our leaders, Lord. We ask that you would surround them with wise counselors. We pray that you would help them to make good decisions that affect not only our country, but countries all around the world. Lord, we pray you would move in our church as we head into Palm Sunday. We know this is a joyous time of the year. And as we celebrate the resurrection, we're grateful, Lord, for what you did, that you were willing to go all the way to the cross for us. So thank you, God, for sending Jesus, not just to die, but to resurrect him and to give us new life, our hope of eternal life. God, you are good. And so when we experience weeping, help us to remember the joy that will come. Teach us now, Lord, how to pray as Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our second hymn here is going to be on the screen. Appreciate Maxine's help here in showing this is not in your hymnal, but I think it'll be a tune that you will know.
Be thou my vision.
Thou my vision. Thank you. Scripture reading for today comes from Psalms 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. We'd like to for you to hear this psalm. It's a psalm. And so I've asked Maxine if she would play. This is a modern version of the old psalm. And so let's listen again to God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Would you pray with me, please? Father, we pause in your presence to ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Thank you, Lord, that you give us joy. We thank you for your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's April. Spring flowers are showing themselves. Our dogwood tree is blooming. I picked one there this morning. And also, you've probably seen the Maryland red buds are blooming. And, of course, the cherry trees and down around the basin and all around the area are in full bloom. I remember the saying that April showers bring May flowers. I think that's probably still true. Old man winter seems to be put to bed, and the world awakens to a new cycle of life. The dark and gray days turn brighter and warmer as God paints the landscape all around us with bright colors of purple and reds and yellows. We see all around us life, life again. Spring reminds us of the hope of life to come. The lectionary psalm for today is Psalms 126, and I chose this because it's new to me. I have used this before in a call to worship, but looking back, I have never preached on this psalm before. It's one of those short ones that you kind of overlook. And so I thought, yeah, let's do that. Today's a good day to do that. It's on the lectionary for today. And so I've settled on Psalms 126. The Wycliffe Bible Commentary states that this is the restoration of the pilgrims. And so when we hear the word pilgrims, our minds probably automatically go to November and Thanksgiving. We probably think of the ones who have landed there at Plymouth in 1620. They had an English ship. They came over on the Mayflower, and the journey to Cape Cod, in the arriving of, in November of 1620. They spent 10 weeks at sea, and it was not an easy trip. They was 102 on the crew. They lost one over. One died. They buried at sea. Another one was washed overboard. They fortunately threw a line to him, and he was able to grab it. He sunk about 12 feet down on the waves, and then came up and was able. They were able to pull him back on board. And so he was saved. What a joy that was. And then there was also a baby born. So they had 102 on the passenger list and 30 crew, and they landed in the new promised land. They felt that God was leading them to separate from the Church of England so that they'd have more freedom to worship and to pray. And so they endured the cramped quarters and the stormy seas for 10 weeks and landed and then endured that first winter. And as you know, that first winter was very hard on them. Only 53 of them survived. And with the help of the Indians, they probably wouldn't have, any of them would have surprised if it wouldn't have been for the Indians. And so that first fall, after the hard winter, they were able to plant and harvest. And they invited 90 of the Indians to come and to celebrate and give God praise for their new start in this new land. The word pilgrims here in this psalm refers to the Hebrews. And it's probably referring to the time that they were taken Babylonian captivity, then later allowed to return to their homeland. We probably can't fully understand what that would have been like to have someone come in and forcibly remove you from your home, to force you into slavery and years of hardship and difficulties, and then to say, okay, you're free, you can go back home. how things would have been changed so drastically in the time that you were gone. If you're having a bad day or if you're having a bad year, it probably doesn't compare to what some of those people went through and what some people even go through today, our sisters and brothers in Christ in various parts of the world. Some experience all kinds of harsh persecution, rape, people, young girls taken to be brides, burning of homes, burning of their churches, indiscriminate killing. It is a difficult world to live in. Our problems then, even though they seem to us to be severe, are really, we just can't compare, can we? Ours aren't that huge. And yet, on the other side of the stress that we endure, the pain, the difficulties, the diseases, the weeping, we can rest assured that joy will come in the morning. And so, what have you endured over the course of your lifetime? And what has God brought you through? How has God brought you through? Psalms 126, then, is a psalm of ascents. It is a joyful return to Zion. And many of the Bibles that you have will have a subcaption here under Psalms 126. It will say Songs of Ascent. And so what we should recognize that this is physically really applies because when you go to Jerusalem, you have to go up. Jerusalem is on a hill. And you literally go up and the city sits on a hill. And so this psalm is a part of the ancient psalm book, their hymn book that they would have used. And many of the pilgrims, many of the Hebrews, the Israelites that were returning to Jerusalem, would have sang this on their way up to Jerusalem to go to the temple, where is the place that you would have your religious festivals and your sacrifices. And so many of people waited their whole lifetime to be able to go to Jerusalem. And so as they were pilgriming, going up they would see the city in the horizon. And what a joy it would be to come into the city and to see the temple and to be a part of the religious festival, whichever one it was. They were glad. They were joyful. Many of them for the first time. And what a joy that must have been. Webster defines joy as an intense happiness or great delight. That's which gives rise to this emotion or on which the emotion centers. An outward expression of this emotion. The Hebrew, in the Bible, we have probably about 175 to 200 places where it talks about joy. And in the Hebrew, these words are used, salmach, salmeshach, and simhach. But here in this particular Psalms, in Psalms verse 6, the word for joy is rinnal. And it refers to a creaking or a shrill sound, a shout of joy. Could be a cry, a grief, but probably a gladness, a joy, a proclamation, a rejoicing, a shouting, singing of triumph. So I know the brethren are rather reserved, and we don't do a lot of shouting. We're not very charismatic, are we? But when was there a time when you went like, yeah, yay? I mean, you just, you! You had to leave it out. A shout for joy. Psalms 35, verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And so think of a time when you were joyful. The scriptures say, let your saints shout for joy. In Ezra, many shouted aloud for joy. In Ezra, we just celebrated Purim. And remember that the Jews were saved from destruction. And the joy that they had, the gladness they felt. It says in Ezra 9:22, they turned sorrow to joy. And they experienced the feasting and they gave gifts in celebration. Isaiah 9:3 says, joy, rejoice before you like the joy of harvest. And Isaiah 32 says, the joy of wild donkeys, a pasture of flocks. I remember now when we were on the farm, we would let the young heifers out for the first time after being penned up all winter. And so we had to make sure the fences were secure. We'd hang little, some little tags or something so that you could see where the fence line, the border was. But when we let those heifers out, they kind of very cautious at first, you know, and then they would start to run and they would kick up their heels and were in delight running across the pasture. And we kind of had to guard the boundaries a little bit for them or they just run right through the fence. What a sheer delight it was to see them enjoying life. The Greek word for joy is chara, and it means cheerfulness or delight. An exceeding joy, gladness. Jesus once told his disciples that your joy may be full. And so I think it's kind of neat for us to think about Jesus wanted us to have our joy full too. He wanted to experience joy, to have it to its fullest. The Liberty Bible commentary says here that Psalms 126 is captivity turned. Captivity turns. A praise for the reversal of captivity and a prayer for increased reversal. The author of this psalm wasn't David. Probably was Haggai or Zechariah or Ezra, one of those that came back from the Babylonian captivity. And it was after the restoration of Israel and after their time of slavery. This psalm records their joy. The joy of the Israelites returning after exile. When have you felt like shouting for joy? Maybe you were praying for someone and God answered your prayer. Maybe you were near death and you were saved. Maybe something happened in your family. A new baby, grandchild. Felt like shouting for joy. What a joy. We have the comments here of these people who have returned and the joy that they felt. Verses 1 through 3. When the Lord restored the fortune of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Filled with joy. The relief from a great distress. One commentator says, so overjoyed were the captives that the announcement of their release made them like they were dreaming. Their mouths were filled with laughter and with singing because the Lord had done great things. The captivity had been great. The deliverance was even greater. Great deliverance demanded great praise. Remember when Moses was going to the promised land and God parted the waters and the Israelites crossed on dry ground. They saw those that were chasing them drown. And then Miriam, Moses' sister, what'd she do? She danced and sang for praise. The joy of salvation, the joy of deliverance. They rejoiced. Verse 4 says that, restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. This is like a prayer. That Jehovah will show his kindness to the multitudes of those yet remaining in Babylon. There were still some left back there. They hoped that they would be able to come too. The remnant would be able to come and join them as well. And the simile that is used here is the streams in the south. Now, if you know anything about Palestine, and the southern part of the country is quite desert-like, quite dry. But they have these wadis, these areas where the riverbed is dry for 11 months of the year. And then with the snows coming down from the mountain or from the rainy season that they get, just all of a sudden those areas can fill up with water very quickly, sometimes very dangerously, and they can become raging rivers. In the same way is what they felt like when they returned to Israel, when they returned to their homeland. You know, last year, in 2024, 29,000 returned to Israel to live there. Each year, 30, 40,000 people return to Israel. They feel a calling, a beckoning to come and to be a part of the land. Verse 5 says, those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. And this phrase is one that's more familiar to us. We use this metaphor in lots of different ways. It is found both in the Old Testament and the New Testaments. The farmer sowing and reaping. This week I remembered that on April the 3rd, 1956, my stepdad moved to the farm and started farming in what is now called the People's Homestead. And I talk a lot about the farm, and so I thought, you know, you're my family, so I thought maybe you should see a little bit more of where I grew up. So, what did Pastor Tracy bring with him today? This is a photograph of a house that was taken, an aerial photograph of the farm. Now, this is the back side of the farm, so it's not the best view of the farm. I have with me here a little booklet here with some of the other pictures of the farm in as well. And as you can see here, the farmhouse is a stone, limestone farmhouse that was built in 1750s, and the barn is later. But many of these buildings I helped with. My stepdad built them after moving to the farm. He spent 40 years on this land. And this was one of our machine buildings that held the combine. We built this block building out of the wall that was around the barnyard. The cows knocked it down, rubbing their necks on the... And so we salvaged the blocks, and we built this building here for grains. We have some grain building bins here that were built. This hog house, I remember very distinctly helping to build that with. We would pick the rock off the fields and bring the rock in and leveled it up, and then we poured the concrete, and this hog house held 150 hogs. This feed bin was built by the boys at the high school. Clarence commissioned the ag department to weld this bin together, and that was what the feed was kept in. Right behind was a turkey house. We kept about 25 turkeys there, and then later we built the machine shed, and I helped remember pouring the concrete for the floor of that. So lots of farm fun memories there. Right up here above would be 81, and so you can see the front of the farm from 81. This was the home where I grew up. Clarence was a good farmer. He often talked about moving to the farm, and we like to think about a good farmer, especially in the spring of the year when it's time to sow and reap. The farmer puts in a lot of labor and hopes that the weather is good, hopes that it gives a good crop, and what a joy it is then when to bring in to reap that crop. Someone has said that our faithfulness in bearing the seed of the Word of God to the unsaved carries with it the promise of future harvests. And we're told in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Sowing and reaping. It's a physical principle as well as a spiritual principle. We need to sow the word in order for there to be a harvest. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, winners of souls are first weepers for souls. As there is no burden without travail, so there is no spiritual harvest without painful tillage. When our own hearts are broken with grief at man's transgressions, we shall break other men's hearts. Perhaps for real revival to take place here on the ridge, there needs to be more prayer, more weeping, more anguish over lost. Remember, Jesus is coming soon. The time is short. Verse 6 says, those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. This is a promise. Promise of reward. We can see this can be applied in any really situation. God's guarantee is precious tears, precious seed, precious reward. And so we need to work the ground. Sow the gospel seed. Weep over the loss, and trust that God will bring a spiritual harvest. Now, I knew that I needed to share this particular psalm this week because the confirmation came on Tuesday. I've been signed up for the Frederick School of Religion. I've been taking a class with the rabbi, Jordan Hirsch, at Beth Shalom, and been taking a look at the land in Israel and the Jewish feelings towards the land. And we opened up the Jewish prayer book on Tuesday, and we opened up to Psalms 126. So I said, okay, that's the one I need to share on this week. And in the Jewish prayer book, I knew, and you know, that as Christians, we usually pray before the meal, right? We pray before we eat and give grace. Well, usually Jews have most of their prayer at the end of the meal, after the meal. And in the Berech HaMamas, the grace after meals, the introduction or the first part of that prayer is Psalms 126. So this is a psalm that they say very often. Most Jews pray three times a day, and most Muslims pray about five times a day. But here, after the meal, is this verse brought to mind again. This verse is said. They renew, they remember God's blessing of the land and their joy of the harvest after each meal. Here's what it says in their prayer book. Psalms 126 centers on a vision of the joy of return from exile. Appropriately, since it describes a return to the land, its central images are agricultural. The contrast between the work of planting and the joy of harvesting may serve as a metaphor for the work of the week and the enjoyment of the Sabbath and the festivals. Generally, we as Gentiles, we probably miss the deep connection that Jews have, that they feel for the land of Palestine. We sometimes can't quite understand that, but it all is wrapped up in the agricultural cycles. The holidays are linked to the seasons of the year, the solar and lunar calendar, and it's all part of their prayers. And their prayers, they pray three times a day. I think probably one of the sad things about our generation is that so many of us are disconnected from the land. Some of you grew up on farms and you live in the country, so you're not as disconnected. But I think about those living in the city, those that are living in high-rises and apartments, have lost the connection to the country, have lost the connection to gardening, to understanding where food comes from. And remember that God formed us from the land. Get your own dirt, as Pastor Benny said this morning. And so God formed us from the land, and there is a connection, a sense of belonging, a returning to the land. And when we die, dust to dust, ashes to ashes, and we are buried in the ground. Jews have a tremendous, unique desire to connect with Palestine, connect with the land that God had given to them. And when they do so, when they return or when they visit, there is great joy in that. You might be going through a really difficult time. And if you are, I want to encourage you to remember the joy that comes in the morning. We will laugh again. We will dream again. We will serve. We will share many things. You might be going through a hard thing right now, as our church is, but better days are coming. Better days are ahead, and we should remember that Jesus is at the door, and he will soon come again. And so we need to continue to sow and trust God for the harvest that we will reap, and continue forward. Forward through to wholeness, forward through to joy. We should remember that Nehemiah said, "For the joy of the Lord is our strength." And so great joy comes as we rely on the Lord. I thought about, too, this week, a picture of Jesus I once saw. He was gathered around with the kids. Kids were gathered around him, and he was laughing. We sometimes, I think of God as such a stern being, and maybe we see Jesus in the light of crucifixion and Good Friday, but we should remember that Jesus was very personable. People loved to be around him, and he laughed. There were times when I'm sure he shouted for joy. Maybe we don't have those records in the scriptures, but what a joy it probably was when the woman touched him, the hem of his garment, and was healed. He probably sensed a tremendous sense of joy there. Maybe the joy of seeing the storm calm and calming his disciples. Okay, guys, it's going to be all right. We're not going to sink. We're not going to drown. I got things under control here. Jesus experienced great sorrow, but he also experienced great joy. And as I was thinking about weeping and joy coming in the morning, I felt like I wanted to share a little personal testimony and ask my wife, and she agreed. And you are our church family. We feel close to you. And we haven't really shared this publicly before. But unlike some couples, we never planned for a specific number of children. We left that up to the Lord. And so our boys came along, and if you asked us about our family, we would tell you that we have three boys. We knew about Psalms 127:3. It says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. So I got thinking, a quiver full. And I went to a Bible seminar, and we learned there that a full quiver is how many arrows? Five. And we can now see that God indeed blessed us, our family, with not just three, but five children, five arrows in our family. The birth of each of the three boys was such a great joy. As a father, I can say my three sons. But what most people don't know is that we had two miscarriages after Ethan. One in August of 2002 and the last one in March of 2003. The miscarriages happened early on in the pregnancy. And since we felt like life begins at conception, we decided to choose names to give to them. And we didn't know whether they were boys or girls because it was fairly early on. And so we chose names that could be either sex. And so we have Alex and Kerry, K-E-R-R-Y, as our children as well. We knew that that chapter in our lives was going to be over. It was coming to an end, and losing those were a difficult time for us. And we were not able to share that with our church family at that time. And so we kept that to ourselves. And yet, we have this hope that one day we will meet again. And we can only imagine Alex and Kerry coming up to us in heaven one day and say, "Hi, Mom and Dad." What a joy that will be. What a joy. And so remember, whatever you're going through, there is always joy on the other side. Joy is the strength of our Lord that he gives to us. And so when we hear this psalm, we shouldn't just gloss over it. This is just a psalm for Israelites returning. This is a psalm for us today. And I'd like for you to hear again this psalm as we journey together on this journey that we call faith. Maxine, would you play for us a different version of this psalm? Let us reflect and meditate on God's word.
Jesus.
April showers bring May flowers, and weeping during the night, but joy in the morning. I pray that God will bless you as we approach Palm Sunday and Easter, and it will be a joyous time for us, and that your weeping will be turned to joy. Let us pray. God, thank you for the gift of joy. We pray that you would help us to learn the lessons of sorrow and difficulty, and we pray that tears would be watered for the seeds that are sown in the good soil, and that there would be a great harvest. So make us, Lord, our hearts tender for the souls of the unsaved, those in our family and those acquaintances and people we haven't yet met that do not know you, and they come to know the love of the Savior. I pray that you would help us, Lord, not to be a hindrance, but that we would help others find the joy of salvation. Lord, bring a spiritual harvest in these last days yet, Lord, that we might see in other places, in other hearts, in other lives, the joy that you have for us. We cannot imagine the joy that awaits us to be a part of your kingdom. And so, Lord, we pray, let there be joy. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please join me in standing as we share together our closing hymn, and it's number 430. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and be upon you, the love of God, the joy of the Holy Spirit, and the fellowship of God's Spirit be with you all. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Praise God from above.